You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path if a tangent allows us to do so. That is the nature of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. As always, during the football season, it feels like we got a lot of news in sports, as well as a lot of news in entertainment with Sony. We got a lot to talk about there. And of course, I've got your wacky odd news later on in the show. So a jam-packed show coming your way. But before we get to all those news topics, Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good. I've been getting over a little bit of some sort of sinus infection, allergy issues.
Yeah,
it's been bugging me.
My allergies have been pretty crazy here in Philadelphia, too.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, whether it was just a particularly bad week for allergies or what have you, but
It's a combination of the fact that summer won't go away. It's been...
Yeah.
It's like just when you think fall's about to arrive, we get hit with another 90-degree day.
Yeah. But one thing, I guess, in a roundabout sort of good way, it did allow me to finish... I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I finished the video game Control.
You were playing it last week.
Yeah, I was playing it last week. So I actually finished it.
Full-blown finished it.
Man, you know, I feel bad for anybody that hadn't been following it or wrote it off because it wasn't like a big AAA release, you know, because this game is so freaking good. It's one of those stories that keeps you invested from start to finish with the mystery of it, with the weirdness of it. And there's so many great little moments of world building in the dialogue and the collectibles you pick up, and in the actual story missions and the things that you do. I just loved finding a new research document or audio clip that I could dive into and read more about the world that they're creating. It's such a fascinating world. It's one of those worlds that you want to keep going back to.
Like a Bioshock or a Soma.
Yeah, it's so well realized and so fleshed out. You just want to keep going back to it. Story aside, the gameplay was also fantastic, really fluid, really fast, really difficult. I wasn't expecting it to be as challenging as it was. It wasn't frustratingly difficult, but it was pretty tough. And I don't consider myself hardcore gamer. I'm not like playing everything on expert difficulty. You know, I usually play everything on normal, and it was fairly challenging for me. So if you're looking for something that's going to test your abilities, it's definitely in that vein. But overall, I got to say, it's one of my favorite games of the year, 2019 so far. And I'd be really surprised if it didn't get a lot more press and hype going into, you know, the holiday season and going into the Game Awards season. Hopefully it gets the recognition it deserves. But I would give it like a solid 9 out of 10.
Very good.
Absolutely fantastic, yeah. I loved it from start to finish, the whole thing. And it's. I keep saying, I know I bug you off the podcast. I'm going to bug you on the podcast. You got to try it, man. It's right up your alley. It's that weird Twin Peaks meets Inception meets X-Files meets, you know, great story-driven single-player gameplay. There's no online. There's no multiplayer. There's no microtransactions or anything. It's just good old-fashioned, you know, semi-linear, you play through boom, 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 you know, one mission after another, and it's just so much fun. Yeah, the story, the gameplay, everything.
That sounds like it would be perfect. Perfect game for me. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have to. You know,
you got the tough part is you got to carve out the time with
right.
these video
that's
games.
That's the problem. And right yeah. now, I feel like we're in. For me personally, it's like a busy time of the season because there's still concerts happening.
Yeah. Well, what's been going on with you recently?
Yeah. So you know, there's been a couple things happening. But I guess the thing I would probably want to mention is that it is now officially October, and something that I wanted to bring up is that later on this month, I'm going to be a judge at a battle.
Judge.
Yeah, I'm going to be a judge.
Okay.
I know, this is weird, no, but I've done it before. I'm going to be a judge for a Battle of the Bands concert that's happening
Ooh.
In Oaks, PA. And it's for charity. It's for,
nice.
Yeah, it's a great organization. And I've done this before. We did this 2 years ago, where it's called the Rock and Bowl because it's at the Water Tower in Oaks, which is, it has like a bowling, it's like a renovated area for night activities. There's like a bowling alley. There's a couple bars.
Okay.
There's a stage where there's going to be the bands competing.
Okay.
It's just great. It's right next to Arnold's Family Fun Center. That's what I was trying to research. I was like, it's next to something. What the
I know. I didn't know. I didn't know what you were grasping for, but
yeah.
Is that right where the convention center is there?
Yes.
Okay.
That too. Yeah. So if you know where Arnold's or the Oaks Convention Center is, it's right back there. It's for a great charity for the ARC Alliance, which
and what do they do?
They help out people with mental disabilities and stuff like that. So
they help
out the local area too, Montgomery County. So
awesome.
They're your local go to resource if you're having trouble, you know, trying to teach these kids or something like that. They're like your first source you go to. So
nice.
It's a very important charity as well. But more importantly, they bring me on because I'm a fan of rock music, and I can't wait to go. It's $10 admission for the Battle of the Bands. $15 will also get you an hour of bowling. So if you want to...
Wow.
It literally is a rock and bowl. You can...
That's not a bad deal. And how many bands do they have? Do they have that information out?
No? Right now, three are confirmed.
Okay.
Phantom Trap, the Outlaw Pandas.
Ooh, I like that name.
And the New Pony Funk. So
I like the Outlaw Pandas.
So three are confirmed. Oh, by the way, I guess that's also an open invitation too. If you want to, if you have a band that's
there you go.
You think could compete in this? Make sure you research the ARC Alliance and their event, the Rockin' Bowl. It's a lot of fun. I did this 2 years ago and I had a great time. It's in a great spot. You can get your bowl on, you can get your drink on, but most importantly, you get your charity on for this wonderful organization. So
get your bowl on, your drink on, and your charity on. I was going to say, I mean, it sounds like a great deal because you have the music, you have the nightlife, you have the bowling, and it's all for charity. I mean, that sounds like a great combo.
Yeah. And you get to see me be a judge.
There you go. That's the cherry on top right there.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the selling pitch there. Hopefully you like it. But no, in all seriousness, this is a great event to support. So, definitely check it out. It's Friday, October 18th, 7 PM to midnight, at the Water Tower in Oaks, which is right next to Arnold's and the Oaks Convention Center. So make sure to check it out. And I'll be hitting it too later on as we get through each episode in October.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That's what we're up to. But now it's time to get to the news at hand. And the first batch of topics revolve around sports in the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face. And we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less here in the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is armed. Go! What do you have?
All right. This week, the two-minute drill is the NFL Controversy Edition. We have two controversies that struck the National Football League this past week. First up, The Oakland Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict finds himself serving a one-year suspension, the longest suspension for an on-field transgression in NFL history, after an unnecessary roughness call for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Indianapolis Colts tight end Jack Doyle. The hit was flagged during the game, and Burfict was ejected. This was due to the egregious nature of the hit, but also because of his long history of these kinds of calls. In fact, Burfict has some of an uncomfortable series of records to his name. Since entering the league in 2012, he leads the NFL with 23 personal fouls, 15 of which are for unnecessary roughness, which is also top in the league. And if that wasn't enough, he also leads the league in money fined for on-field violations, totaling nearly $470,000, and that's not including the $3.7 million forfeited in game checks due to suspensions that he's served.
Yeah.
But if you can believe it, he wasn't the only major asshat this past week. No.
No.
We also have former Pittsburgh, Oakland.
Former teammate.
Yeah.
The guy that stopped Antonio Brown from having a fight with Mike
Mayock. Yeah. There you go. Antonio Brown, former Pittsburgh, Oakland, and New England wide receiver, is ready to file a record nine grievances and appeals against his two previous teams, looking to recoup more than $61 million he believes is owed to him. His appeals and grievances are: 1. Fine appeals with Oakland for $215,000. 2. Oakland salary guarantees for $29 million. 3. Oakland signing bonus for $1 million. 4. Oakland unpaid week one salary for $860,000. 5. I don't got time to read all these.
Yeah, there's too many.
I hate Antonio Brown. I hate him. I hate him.
He really thinks he's going to get all this money back.
5. New England salary guarantee of $1 million. 6. New England signing bonus of $9 million. 7. New England unpaid week 3 salary of $64,000. And 8. New England 2020 option year for $20 million. And for those of you keeping score and wondering where the 9th appeal is, don't worry. He's also prepared to appeal any potential suspensions the league may issue if they ever sack up. Rich, what in the ever-loving hell is going on in the NFL?
He's out of his mind. He thinks he actually has a shot at getting that.
$61 million?
He's not getting it.
After going through two teams in a month?
Nope. It's not happening.
Starting fights on the sidelines, being accused of sexual assault, regardless of whether or not it actually happened. That's besides the point. I mean, we've seen players get suspended for less. I think Antonio Brown should be suspended. I think that he should be on the commissioner's exempt list. I say this every single week, and I'm sure I'll say it again next week.
Yeah.
Because I'm done talking about that for now. Instead, we're going to go into some more happy news here. We have the weekly Eagles game recap to get to, and it's a good one. The Eagles shocked Green Bay and defeat the undefeated Packers 34-27 at Lambeau Field. Rich, wow, what a game. Did you expect this at all?
Absolutely not.
What's going on here?
Absolutely not. This is the most Eagle thing that the Eagles could have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They lose to the Lions at home.
Yeah.
And then in 4 days, they turn it around and beat Green Bay at Lambeau.
That makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense on a short week road team against the undefeated Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. But basically, it was do or die. This was the rallying cry in the locker room, because if they lose that game and then they go 1-3 in a division where the Cowboys are starting to run away with the division at 3-1, I think that's ball game. Well, I don't think they come back.
We talked about it being a must win.
Yeah,
and they won.
They heard the call.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they heard the sense of urgency. They heeded the panic warnings and they took this game seriously.
What was your key to the victory?
I would say, ironically, it was the red zone stands.
Yeah.
This defense.
That was impressive.
They give up some big chunks, but when it comes to the red zone defense, they hunker down. And, you know, I think Green Bay had 3 trips into the red zone that were either stopped or they could only do a field goal. That's huge. That's 21 points you kept off the board. You reduced it down to 6.
The Packers were 3-7 in the red zone.
Oh, wow. 3-7.
Yeah.
Is that plays or drives?
According to ESPN, it's 3-7.
Wow.
I don't know.
I could have sworn it was only 3. Whatever.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah, that's still great.
That's really good.
Wow, that's not good in terms of like field positioning. They're going to have to work on that.
They also had almost 500 total yards of offense, but that's another issue entirely. <Yeah. laughs> But I completely agree about the red zone. That's where the Eagles' defense really shines because they clearly cannot do anything between the 20s. They're useless. Aaron Rodgers had 40% of his season's passing yards against us. That
there you go.
Right there, that's kind of shocking to me. When I looked up the stats, I'm like, oh my God. Like, the number of yards he put up against us was more than like multiple games combined. That's shocking.
Yes.
But yeah, when you get down to it, you know what it is when you're in the red zone. The safeties don't have to worry about getting beat deep.
Right.
So everything is compacted. And we got a tenacious group. You know, they're not afraid to get in there and get rough. So it's easier when the field gets compacted. But in between the 20s, that's scary. For me, what I really like to see was the run game finally.
Yes, Jordan Howard.
Take effect here. 176 total yards.
Jordan Howard is your clear number one.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders, I know he's a rookie and needs time to develop and all that stuff. But no, he's a distant two. It's the Jordan Howard show this season.
Yeah. To be fair, Miles Sanders did okay, but Jordan Howard was by far, I mean, he had three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two on the ground, one receiving. And
My opponent played him in fantasy.
Oh, that must sting.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As long as the Eagles win.
Yeah, we got to win out of it. He averaged him 6 yards a carry. I mean, we were just gashing them, 176 yards on the ground. Compared to be fair to this defense, we still do great against the run. We only allowed 77 rushing yards for the Packers, 46 of which came from Aaron Rodgers. That's a crazy stat right there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was the leading
rusher. I still think that we're not getting... Go ahead.
Another tidbit.
Yeah.
Why were Green Bay... They were not running the ball at all. I mean, I know...
Rodgers throwing for 450 yards...
But, I mean, going back to the last drive... Or was it the second? Whatever the one they had first and goal on the 2 yard line, and they didn't run the ball. They called four straight pass plays.
I guess it's because that we had been stopping it. I mean that's the one thing that the Eagles defense typically does well is stop the run.
Yeah, but still, that's just poor play calling.
Is it poor playing calling though? Because Avante Maddox is out of the game.
You got it. You got at least you got. That's why you have a running back. You have to at least trust him for one attempt.
Yeah. I'm not complaining because we came out on top, but...
The head coach, Matt LaFleur, he's going to regret that. He needs to look back at that series of play calling. You can't do that in National Football League.
I don't think the Green Bay Packers have been, you know, that averse to running the ball this season either.
No, matter of fact, that's why they were 3-0, because their running game was taken off, and that relieved some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm surprised they really didn't run it more against us, but I guess it's because we were bottling it up. You know, that's where our defense succeeds, is when you force the other team to be one-dimensional. And that's what we've been lacking, is the teams were hurting us all over the place, and we couldn't catch a break because we couldn't get our offense up to speed. We finally got our own offense up to speed. We got out in front of the Packers. We forced them to be one-dimensional, and it made things easier for the defense. I think the defense still needs to do a better job of getting to the quarterback. The front four is not generating nearly enough pressure, and the secondary is getting torched for it. I'm not saying the secondary is good. You know, I'm not.
No,
I'm,
I know you're not.
I know. You know, every week I complain to Rich before the show. I can't believe they haven't traded for Jalen Ramsey yet. And every week you say it's not going to happen.
I'm telling you.
Stop twisting the knife.
I know
it probably won't, but you have to leave me that hope, Rich, because we can't go another 12 weeks of 422 passing yards against us. That's not how you win games in the NFL a pass-first league.
No.
Unless we got lucky.
Unless you're going to do like the New Orleans Saints from like 2015, where every game was like 58-48 or something.
We got to score, though, if that's going to be the case. I really like the fact that Carson Wentz, you know, he didn't do anything flashy, but he did what he needed to do. Quarterback rating of 113. He only threw for 160 yards, but three touchdowns in that.
Well, you had Jordan Howard.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a balanced attack. Is you don't your quarterback doesn't feel like he needs to stretch plays and force passes and put the whole team on his shoulders. And we got to see a little glimpse of the type of player Carson Wentz can be when we have a balanced attack and good play calling.
I will say, though, I'm gonna take a little dig here at Carson Wentz.
And okay.
And
well, you are a Philly fan. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yes. And I think Bruno may be onto something. Remember last week he said there's something off with Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Either it's a team issue or there's something where the clock is in his head is a little shorter than it used to be, or maybe he's dealing with a minor injury or something, because there were a couple of throws in the second half of that game,
yeah,
including the big one on third, and it was 3rd and 10, and he had a wide open, I think it was Alshon Jeffrey running an out route, and he completely missed him.
Yeah.
You got to convert those throws to ice the game.
Yeah.
That's what makes or breaks those last couple minute drives. If he completes that pass on that 3rd and 10 to keep that drive going, the defense doesn't have to stop him with the goal line interception.
Right.
It's stuff like that where you can trace things. That's like, you gotta put teams away while you can. I don't like that. There is something off there, and Bruno alerted us to that last week.
I would agree if it was becoming more common. I don't think it's too common that it's an issue, but I do agree that, yeah, in those situations he does need to make those throws.
Yeah.
So the only thing is, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that he has the coaches talking to him about that, and I hope that he's not getting in his own head. Why does it seem like Philadelphia players always get in their own head? Is it the media attention? Is it the fans, wow, the city? I don't know what it is.
It is tough to play in Philadelphia.
It is.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, you don't have the benefit of playing out in, like, these no-name markets, Colorado, you know, where everybody's high, they don't care. down in Florida, where Miami's tanking, and they're like, oh, whatever, who cares? Philadelphia's a top 5 market. They're gonna, if you sneeze wrong, they're gonna be like, oh my god, you know, why'd you do that? How could you do that to us? Why aren't you sneezing like this? Why didn't you know? Oh, the backup could sneeze better. Oh, leave McCown in to sneeze for the rest of the drive. You know, it's everything they do is you know, hyper analyzed. And I do it too. I expect nothing less. But my point, to circle back to what I was originally saying,
I kind of want to do a segment where you just crap all over other cities now.
before the show, we were talking about who we wanted to see in the Super Bowl. And I went through all 16.
We were assuming the Eagles couldn't make it.
Assuming the Eagles couldn't make it. I went through every other of the 15 teams in the NFC, and I came to the conclusion that I would only be happy with the 49ers and the Buccaneers, because I hate every other team for various reasons. Whether it's Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, or
I think you're better than I am, though, because I hate every team in the NFC. I do too.
Yeah,
you know
why? Why do we have such hate? Why do we harbor such hate in our hearts?
Well, because we play against them a lot.
We do.
So there are memories that I have. You know,
yeah,
like the Buccaneers. I will never forgive them for beating us at the last game at Veterans Stadium, and they whipped us. I'll never forget that.
Well, thanks, Rich. Now it's just the 49ers.
Yeah. 49ers.
You don't like them either? You don't like Jimmy Garoppolo?
I really don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. I've watched his 3 games that he's been a part of, and I'm struggling to see where the franchise quarterback ability is, because
yeah,
he has been tossing some very questionable throws. And that's, he had a couple passes in the triple coverage, and that's not what you want to see from your franchise quarterback. But anyway, that's a different team.
Yeah,
different
I guess stuff. We can just be grateful Carson Wentz isn't doing that.
Yes.
If he sails one every once in a while, I can live with that. You don't want to see quarterbacks forcing balls into triple coverage or double coverage or, you know, doing some really goofy
quadruple
stuff.
Quadruple coverage from $50 million man Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, pay him. Pay him, Jerry. Pay him, Jerry.
Oh,
let's do
man.
It.
That was interesting. Dak Prescott threw it in the quadruple coverage. I know it was the end of the game and it was his last ditch effort.
It was Amari Cooper.
But it was Amari Cooper. But really, there's nobody else. If there's 4 guys on Amari Cooper, somebody else is probably on one-on-one. Come on.
You don't have Zeke out there?
Yeah, where's Zeke?
Where's Zeke? Where's Jason Witten?
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway.
But anyway, yeah, so we hate all the rest of the NFC.
Yeah.
The Eagles are somehow still alive in the most improbable sense.
Actually, it's looking like a good shot because
right now, if we win our upcoming game and Dallas loses, we are right in the thick of things again.
Yeah, that would be the Cowboys and the Eagles both tied at 3-2 in the division. So
yeah, but since we're already looking ahead, should we just dive right into this next segment?
I think that's a good idea. So it's time to go over four games that we think you should keep an eye on with our Fantastic Four picks. We got the thinking music loaded up.
All right. First up, we have a battle of the big cats, the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Carolina
Panthers. This is what you're going to go with?
What?
The battle of the big cats.
Okay. What would you rather do?
The battle of the quarterbacks that nobody thought were going to take over their teams.
There you go. That is also appropriate.
That is absolutely true. Yeah.
That is true. Nonetheless, I think they both still have winning records, Jacksonville and Panthers. They're both fighting to stay alive in their respective divisions. Sunday, October 6th at 1 o'clock. Rich, who do you got?
So,
it's a tough one.
So, Gardner Minshew, I think that's how you say his name.
Sure, sounds good to me.
He's the one that everybody is just suddenly falling in love with. This kind of backup to a backup, and he has stepped in and he's done a pretty good job with that Jaguars offense, and he wears the bandana and everybody thinks he's unique and everything, so good for you.
I'm hearing a hint of sarcasm there.
I mean, sure. I'm just one. Have you been on the forums?
He's got 900 yards passing and 7 touchdowns.
People are treating him like he's the next, like, it's been ridiculous. Someone did a Chuck Norris thread with him in it, you know?
Really?
Instead of
Chuck Norris, you know, when Chuck Norris does push-ups,
right.
Yeah, he
right.
pushes the world down.
Right, they did it with Gardner Minshew. I'm like,
wow.
Dude, he won 2 or 3 games. That's it. He's not, you know, he's not setting the world on fire yet. If he leads the Jaguars to a 10-6 record, okay, then you can start doing that. But it's only been 2 games. Anyway, the point is, Jaguars are now with a different quarterback than what everybody thought. And the Carolina Panthers are with a different quarterback than everyone thought. Kyle Allen has actually probably been the best thing that could have happened to this Carolina Panthers team. Because I think Cam Newton is in the wrong situation with that offense. With Kyle Allen, that team, that offense has been forced to be more balanced. They've relied more on Christian McCaffrey and just being more consistent in their drives, and it's been paying off. So I'm going to go slight edge here with Carolina. They're at home. Their defense I would rather take the Carolina defense going against a backup quarterback with the Jaguars than a Jaguars defense having problems with Jalen Ramsey going against a backup Carolina team, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And Carolina right now has the better defense of the two, I think. And being at home, they will be more comfortable. The big thing for me is the Jaguars are still a mystery, you know, because everybody thought they were going to be good heading into the season, and then they've sort of sputtered out a little bit. And I know everybody, like you said, is very excited about this Minshew character, but you know, like you said, it's only been a few games, so I'm gonna go with the Panthers as well.
Yeah,
I also need the Jaguars to lose so that they will trade Jalen Ramsey to the Eagles.
Oh yeah, that's not gonna happen. I'm telling you,
they offered them a first and a second.
It's not gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
And I'll tell you, and you really, yeah, you're right.
It's going to happen.
You really better hope the Carolina Panthers win, because if Jacksonville pulls this off, they go 3-2, they're going to have delusions of grandeur.
Don't put it out in the universe, Rich.
They're going to think they're going to be on a one-way ticket to winning the division if they go 3-2.
That's why the Panthers are absolutely going to win, and the Eagles are absolutely going to trade for Jalen Ramsey. Next up, a defensive showdown between the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. It's a 4:25 game. Rich, who do you got this one? Both these teams really stout defenses, surprisingly.
Yep, and both coming off surprising losses last week. But I'm gonna. Oh my gosh, I really don't want
to. Tough one. Don't say it.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? I'll help you out here.
I don't want to
I'll help you
it.
Out here. Oh, man, I was going to say one thing, but now I don't know.
On paper, it seems like it's got to be Dallas. They're going to be at home. Ezekiel Elliott is still Ezekiel Elliott. And the Green Bay defense, even though over the season they've been great, they recently just got gashed by the Eagles offense.
Well,
whereas the Dallas Cowboys were in a tight game with the Saints. So their defense is still pretty stout.
So here's the thing that I'll say. The Green Bay defense, their one weak spot is definitely in the rushing game. That's their weakness on defense, and that happens to be Dallas's strength. Dallas, however, is also ranked 18th in takeaway differential. So if Green Bay can get a few takeaways, maybe they stand an outside chance of winning this. But if Ezekiel Elliott is playing and he and everybody's expecting him to, of course, there's nothing wrong with him. I don't know. I don't want to say it. So I'm not. The Packers are going to win.
That was it. I don't want to say it, so Packers are going to win. Okay.
All my analysis went the other way, but I mean, who cares? Well, if it makes you feel any better, Green Bay has won like the four of the last five matchups that they've played against Dallas. So,
oh, that's good.
Pro Football Reference has a lot of good statistics.
Maybe the Packers just have their number.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe the Packers will have a fire lit under their ass after they got embarrassed by the Eagles. I mean, you know, the Eagles were supposed to lose.
Yeah, and they let that game go.
You know, so maybe now, maybe the Eagles were a trap game. They were looking forward to Dallas. Maybe they're game planning extra hard. Am I just trying to, you know, snake oil salesman myself into this? I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay.
Next, we have one of the primetime games for this week, Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs, Sunday, October 6th at 8:20. Rich, who do you like in this one?
Don't overthink it. It's Kansas City at home. Patrick Mahomes has basically been a Madden arcade cheat code. He just seems so effortless. Whenever he just launches the ball down the field, it seems just so effortless.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost unfair.
Yeah. And I know they lost Tyreek Hill, but I'll tell you what. At this point, you just need any competent wide receiver to pair with Patrick Mahomes, and you're going to be good. And I trust Andy Reid. Don't overthink it. It's going to be Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, they've been doing it all year, 4-0.
They had a little scare last week with the Lions.
They did, but it just proves their resilience. And
yep.
Mahomes is leading in MVP, what do you call them, odds. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We were discussing
betting.
You're
using my argument.
I am using your argument. But because you're right, it is like, and I think he just got like rated 99 on Madden with the latest update.
Yeah.
They made a big deal about that. He's like one of the only rated 99 players in the game. So he is like a Madden cheat code.
Yep.
He's literally a Madden cheat code. Cheat codes always help you win games. I'm going with the Chiefs. And finally, we got some fake birds facing off against some real birds, the New York Jets, coming into Philly to face off against the Eagles at 1:00. Rich, can the Eagles ground those Jets?
I think so. The Eagles have been so just inconsistent lately, but I have to believe that they're going to be able to handle the Jets. I mean, the Jets, their really only key component is running the ball with Le'Veon Bell and then Sam Darnold's connection with Jameson Crowder. That's pretty much been the two driving forces behind the offense of that Jets team this whole season. And that seems to me pretty doable to stop with the Eagles defense. And then on the flip side, I think Carson Wentz should be able to lead the offense, especially at home. I mean, on paper, this should be Eagles all the way.
Yeah, and when you think about how the Eagles might be getting DeSean Jackson back.
I didn't even think about that, yeah.
And you know what? The Eagles are ranked 32nd in pass defense, but the Jets are ranked 28th. So if there's ever a boost that Carson Wentz needs, it's facing a team like the Jets.
Yeah.
And if we get those weapons back, this could really be one of those defining games that gets his head in the right spot and gets back on that 2017 track. I think that he's almost already there, but this, I think, could help further that along. So on paper, this really has got to be an Eagles win. If they lose this, it's all over. But I don't think they will. I'm going with the Eagles.
So there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 5 of the NFL season. So there you go there. Did you want to mention something else?
No, but you had said before the show...
You had your hand up. Well, I was like, what's happening?
You had said before the show that you wanted to save something about the Eagles for the show, and I don't think we ever got to. I think it was about gambling.
It's always
when it's sports, it's always about gambling with Rich.
That's right. I did want to bring up something.
Dying to know what it was before the show, and he wouldn't tell me, so...
That's right. So, you know, I do my weekly research with the sports book. Now that's it's legal in Pennsylvania, of course.
Of course.
I wasn't doing this when this wasn't a thing in Pennsylvania. But anyway, so you can bet on, you know, a couple of things. You can bet on point spreads and all this stuff. You can bet on Super Bowl, who's going to win the Super Bowl, that whole
thing. And you said the Eagles are, what, 14-1?
They
for the Super Bowl,
14-1 as of right now. They're 14.
They're right there near Dallas. So
yeah, but here's something else that I came across, and this is something you can actually bet on FanDuel. Is you can bet individual division winners.
Okay,
and for the Eagles to win the division, they are at 130-100 odds.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
Mike, would you be willing to place down a $10 bet to win 13 that the Eagles win the division? Think about it. It's just the division. That's it. They got to get over the Cowboys.
No.
No? You think Dallas is going to take the division?
Unfortunately, right now, 4 weeks into the season, I think...
How much of a true Eagles fan are you, Mike? You're not willing to take this bet?
I mean, $10 isn't that much. I probably would, but like, if this were like a gun to my head, and like, do you think the Eagles are going to win the division? This is the last $10 you have to your name. Probably not. I think the only way we're getting into the playoffs is wild card, and I think even that's an uphill battle. Would you take this bet?
I would.
That they would win the division?
For you're not laying odds. I like that.
What does that mean?
That means you'd have to bet more. But you don't win much. So Dallas right now, on the flip side, Dallas is you have to lay 135 to make 100.
Oh, that's stupid.
Right. So I wouldn't like that bet. But the Eagles right now?
I mean, it's a good bet.
Yeah, I would take
because,
it.
Because, I mean, it's possible, you know, and like you said, you don't have to lay more to get less.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah.
I would take it.
If it's a question of whether I'd spend the $10 yet, if it's a question of whether I think the Eagles will actually win the division? No.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes, good bet. No, they won't win.
Mike is a cheap bastard.
I am. I don't deny it. I am.
All right. One more story before we officially wrap up the sports sampler. Mike didn't even realize it.
No, I have no idea what's happening right now.
The baseball season has officially come to an end.
Football started. Who cares?
Yeah. And the Eagles or the Phillies.
See?
Yeah.
See, even you don't care.
Sorry. I was trying to read this at the same time. The Phillies have officially finished the 2019 season perfectly.
And they've been?
Perfectly and imperfectly at 500. They went 81-81. This is how exactly we all feel.
I know people probably disagree with me. I'd rather them have had a losing record.
Well,
you know me. I hate ties for this very reason. I hate 500 records for this very reason. It's like you're not. Oh my God! Like you're just painfully average. Like you accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't know about how the draft works in baseball. It probably doesn't matter at all. But like. The idea that you just trot out there and you're like, oh, I guess we're just going to be average. We're just going to be, you know.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah, it's very painful right now. And what makes this even worse is the fact that this was supposed to be a bounce back year between the fact we went out, got Bryce Harper, McCutcheon. It's definitely a sour note for baseball fans here in Philadelphia. And unfortunately, this marks now...
Timeout.
Yeah.
You tell me Bryce Harper's contract bought us one win?
Exactly.
I'm done.
Yep.
Yo.
This unfortunately marks the seventh straight season that the Phillies have not seen any postseason action. And I hate to say it, but it feels like we're going back to the Phillies of yesteryear. The classic 90s Phillies where... Just, yeah, we're just going to be playing through the season and that's it. Because if Bryce Harper couldn't lift us to the postseason, I don't know what else will. This front office needs to get aggressive, and they need to go out and find some quality pitching, relief pitching, and they need to find some more stars. Other than that, this is another situation that's going nowhere.
This has always been my argument with baseball. There's no cap. Just spend whatever you want to spend. I know it comes out of the owner's pocket. There's a luxury tax, yada, yada. Who cares? You know how much money the Phillies probably make?
It's really a shame because this team has talent. Reese Hopkins.
They do, yeah.
This team could go somewhere, but just some of the shackles that's being put on this team, especially with the relief pitching, it's too much to overcome. And Gabe Kapler might be another one, too. I don't think he's right for this job.
Well, I know you said early in the season, way, way back, that you didn't like the way that he was managing things.
Yeah, he's too much. He's too focused on the saber metrics and the stats and everything. In baseball, it is a key component. Don't get me wrong, but there are some things that you just don't need to overthink, and he does it to a T. And I think it's really affecting this team. You can't moneyball everything,
right?
You know, if you could, every team would do Moneyball. It's not how it works.
If it always worked that way, then it would be just it wouldn't, the leagues wouldn't work. The sports wouldn't work if you could just science your way to a win.
Right.
You know,
and also this fundamentally means that we have not improved since 2012, because in 2012 we went 81-81 as well.
Wow.
So great.
Yikes.
What a time to be a Phillies fan.
What a time to only care about football.
Yes. You know what?
That's the real lesson.
I hate to say it, but Mike, you're absolutely right. That means it is time for a full transition to football, and just that's it. That's what we're going to have to just run with, because that's the only glimmer of hope. Other than that, in the Sixers. The Sixers could do some damage.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right. But there you go. We got to wrap up the sports with that. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We still have plenty more shows still to come.
The crispy noodle, always crunching.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. A lot of sports there. And Mike's going to love it. We're officially now all football, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Because obviously the Phillies let us down. Well, there's always next year.
No,
there's not.
Well, we're only averaging one extra win a season, so it's going to be like 10 years before they're relevant again.
So by 2040, we're going to have 100 wins.
Science checks out.
Here we go. 2040, World Series confirmed.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
There you go. Yeah, let's officially put sports aside, because now it is time to get to the portion of the show where we have all the news that you want in the entertainment world. Folks, it is time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Well, we have to understand the chemical composition of polyethylene, which is plastic. Mm-hmm. That chemical composition is carbon and then H2.
Right.
And then another thing of carbon and then H2. Now, carbon and hydrogen are the same element, just under different pressure conditions. Carbon and hydrogen both have the key of E. Mm-hmm. And everything has a prime resonance frequency by which it will bond or it will break its bonds. So utilizing the opposite, like E fades into the key of A.
Right.
So you See? Can now take hydrogen.
This is the stuff we need to educate ourselves on, seriously.
Yeah, but then, no, that's what we're talking
I'm saying,
about.
You can use the prime resonant frequency of hydrogen and cause the hydrogen to break apart mm-hmm. from the carbon.
But what, so all due respect, what does that have to do? We asked you about your acting
well,
and you're
I
leaving.
Well, I want to
it.
Now utilize my potential.
Boom.
That's what
there
I
we
mean.
Go.
That's
Something.
Okay.
Got it.
Oh, right.
My God.
Yes, he's back.
Oh, my God.
Terrence Howard, back-to-back weeks.
That was the best line ever, though, because, I don't know, who was? They're like, we asked you about your acting.
Yeah. So
is that what is going to happen for every interview now? They ask him a question about acting, and he goes on and on about the secret of life. And
I think so.
He said E fades into A? Is he talking about, like, musical notes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He's claiming that if you play musical notes...
The wave
to
resonance.
Carbon, you get hydrogen or something
is
like that.
Is that what he was claiming?
So,
you
yeah.
play.
If you
the music has carbon in it, or that if you play music to carbon.
Right. If you play the vibration E to carbon molecules, you'll get hydrogen or something like that.
Carbon molecules.
Yes.
Like
plastic.
Isn't carbon like one of the basic building blocks of life?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. This is.
Yes, Terrence Howard. Of course, Terrence Howard. Don't hurt me, Terrence Howard.
Yes. All right. This is the guy that opened up the flower of life.
He scares me. Terrence Howard, he actually frightens me, Rich.
You're not the only one. So I also have to say this. This is from a show, which I didn't know this is a thing, called The Real Daytime.
What is
that? The Real Daytime.
Is there a fake daytime?
I think this is like the secondary version of like The View. It's five women.
The View did not need a sequel.
Yeah, it's five women, and they interview celebrities in the morning. And I got
you said that with such disdain. I love it.
Yeah,
it's five women, and they interview people in the morning.
Yeah, I guess that's what the show is about. But I got the first girl that I don't even know their names. I'm sorry. I'm not
Good
familiar.
Research.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the show. But the first girl, I don't know, she went off on like, we gotta teach this in school.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't even gonna touch that, but
yeah,
no.
Sorry.
No, lady, I don't know.
Lady, first, I'm sorry, I don't know what your name is.
Lady.
But
that's
but,
not misogynistic at all.
I'm
it's
sorry.
All right, listen, lady.
I'm sorry, but there's rule of interviewing. The guest is not always right. You can't just take him at his word.
You can't just fawn over them, yeah.
Yeah. All because this dude is saying the carbon molecules can convert into hydrogen. That doesn't mean it actually is going to happen. And she's like, yes, teach this in schools.
Oh,
no!
My God.
But then I got to follow it up. The second lady, she was awesome. She's
yeah.
the one with the clip that says...
We asked you about your acting.
Yeah.
They should
simultaneously.
Play,
yeah. You had the best interview. You had the worst interviewer and the best interviewer.
I was gonna say for when people go to interview Terrence Howard, they should play that Emmy's red carpet interview and take notes of what that lady did during that interview and how she just completely ignored every bat crap crazy thing he said and was like, "So you're getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?" Because that's exactly what that second lady did there.
Yeah,
she's like, "So." What about your acting?
Right, that's what we asked you about.
When somebody goes bonkers on you, you just turn it back around.
Yeah.
You know?
But, wow.
Terrence Howard, this is now...
2 weeks in a row.
Things are escalating, because before it was just simple...
I thought he was going to retire.
He can't retire soon enough.
Yeah.
Well, he still didn't put out on YouTube. He didn't make Saturn with no gravity.
Oh, yeah.
I was really disappointed
in that. Really disappointed.
I wanted to see Saturn with no gravity. I don't even know what that means. What do you mean you're going to make Saturn?
I wanted to see the flower of life, and he said he opened it.
Right, I know. Where?
Well, let me open it. I want to see what's in
the flower, too.
Yeah. Is it allergies? Am I going to sneeze? Like, what is
this? Maybe
this?
We shouldn't open the flower, yeah.
You open the flower.
Yeah.
I want to see, yeah, I want to, you do it far away, but I want to see the video.
Make sure that we don't get any pollen over here, because we got the allergies.
So, I guess he's going to open up the flower of life, and then using music, he's going
to
convert.
He's going to play to Carbon, and what was he, I completely missed something, because he's going to play the wave resonance.
You were like, broken, the wave.
It's plastic.
The wave.
That's what, listening to Terrence Howard breaks your brain.
Yeah.
It breaks your brain. Now, what was going to happen to the plastic, though?
I don't know. Let me play it. Let me try and get that one spot again.
And hydrogen are the same element, just under different pressure conditions. Carbon and hydrogen both have the key of E. Uh-huh. And everything has a prime resonance frequency by which it will bond or it will break its bonds. So utilizing the opposite, like E fades into the key of A.
Right.
So you can now take hydrogen.
This is the stuff we need to educate ourselves on, seriously.
Yeah, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. Whoever that lady is, I don't know who it is, but you're an idiot. You cannot
this
trust.
This is the stuff we need to educate ourselves on. What? What stuff in specific?
Yeah.
You know, are you referring to?
Right. You can't
his weird plastic melting music.
Yeah, you can't assume. You can't assume that the person you're interviewing is 100% factually correct.
Yeah.
All right. So this lady's that lady's crazy.
Uh huh.
But yeah, apparently he's saying if you play the frequency of E, you can transform carbon plastic.
But but into what?
Into the hydrogen?
You can use the prime resonant frequency of hydrogen and cause the hydrogen to break apart from the carbon.
But what, what does that have to do? We asked you about your acting. Well,
and then I love that lady.
Yes.
No, we asked you about your acting. Shut up.
Man.
So carbon turns into hydrogen? Something like that. I don't know. This is Terrence Howard.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Look,
he scares me.
Either he is 100% crazy.
On drugs.
Yeah. Or he's absolutely telling the truth and we all just don't realize it.
Him and Jim Carrey need to get a room and discuss their philosophies.
Yeah.
Because that would be a fun conversation. Because remember, Jim Carrey had he went a little
post that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Make sure, talk to Jim Carrey and then post making Uranus without gas or whatever. Whatever the hell he said last
making
week.
Making Uranus without gas? Rich?
Whatever the hell he
making
said.
Making Saturn without
Saturn
gravity?
Whatever. Whatever the... week it's something different!
Make Uranus without gas. Just stop eating beans. That's how you do that one.
Yes. I don't know. Freaking every week it's something different.
Make Uranus...
whatever the hell this guy's saying, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. That's actually for me my personal issues. But anyway, there you go. That's your random sound clip of the week. Twice in a row, it's Terrence Howard because he's
replaced Alex Jones for us.
Oh my God, you're right.
We need to get we need to get Jim Carrey, Alex Jones, Terrence Howard in a room together with an
you're
Amazon
right.
Echo device and just let them all go crazy.
You're right.
Oh.
Well, we can't have Alex Jones anymore because he's been banned all on YouTube. So, there's been a vacuum now.
That's the sound of the vacuum.
Right. And apparently
Terrence Howard is filling it with the prime resonance frequency of E.
Yeah.
Which does something.
Something to transform the carbon
and
molecules.
Then you make Saturn without gravity.
There you go.
And Uranus without gas.
And Uranus without gas. There you go. Sounds perfect. All right. So there you go. That's your random sound clip of the week.
Fantastic.
So with that in mind, now it's time to get to the next part of the entertainment entree, where Mike lets you know what's coming up this week with movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right. Well, if you can't make Uranus without gas, what else can our people do?
Well, It's kind of spooky, like Uranus without gas. It's October. Jesus, I don't even know. I don't know.
Okay.
It's time for some spooky entertainment. In movies, we have Joker hitting theaters, which marks the latest in the Let's Piss Off All the Fanboys cinematic universe. In all seriousness, though, Joker is proving to be a divisive film, garnering a 78 on Rotten Tomatoes and a 68 and a 66 on Metacritic. Some love it, some hate it, which is pretty much on par for these types of movies.
I'm excited. I think it looks good.
The last trailer, or the second to last trailer, really sold me on the film. If you're someone who thinks Joker doesn't need a backstory, it's probably best to skip this one. However, if you enjoy the Batman universe and want to learn more about this mysterious villain's background and are intrigued by the more dramatic and sinister tone, it seems like it's probably somewhat of a safe bet, even though there's probably going to be a lot of controversy surrounding this film.
Yeah, I think if you like the Batman universe, I think you're going to like this movie.
Yeah. Now, you were originally against it.
I was.
As was I.
Right. When I first heard this original plan with this, and they're still going to make the Suicide Squad, which I was like, what? Why is there two concurrent Jokers? That part would throw me off.
But
after looking at the trailers and getting hyped, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good movie.
I say give it a shot. Don't poo-poo anything, you know, before you learn more about it.
I trust Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, that's another good point. He's pretty good. So there you go. Joker hitting theaters this week. Next up in television, The Walking Dead returns to AMC on Sunday, October 6th at 9 for its 10th season.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah,
that Negan is still awesome.
Yep, he's still there.
You guys, look at my dirty girl.
I know you love Negan. He's still part of the show, and I think he's going to get a big and interesting role in this upcoming season. It's true that it has yet to recapture the allure and the quality of the pre-season 7 type of Walking Dead. The show's most recent season took a strong step in the direction of more character-driven drama than some of the other recent seasons, and after introducing a chilling new villain group in the Whisperers and the shocking deaths in the last few episodes of season 9, fans can expect some big things from the coming season.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
There you go. I know you stepped away from The Walking Dead.
I did. It's one of those things that, like, I missed a Sunday, and then, like, I kind of...
you just fell behind.
Yeah, because you can't watch the next episode if you haven't caught up on the episode you haven't seen, so it just kind of spiraled out of place. So I'm going to have to catch up.
Yeah, you should set aside like a day and just power through the second half of season 9. I really enjoyed it, but then again, I was reading the comics, so I was comparing them to each other, so maybe I got more out of it than maybe just show watchers would, but I really liked it. I thought they were taking it in a good direction, and I'm really eager to see where it goes.
This is the kind of thing that just... tickles my balls.
So there you go. That's
there you go.
The Walking Dead.
It tickles Mike's balls.
tickling my balls for 9
this
seasons.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Thank you, Walking Dead. It feels great. That's in TV. And then in video games, we have a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation Plus subscribers get a once-in-a-generation game in The Last of Us Remastered. Wow.
Yeah, this is a generation-defining game.
It really is. One of the best games of all time, I think. If you haven't played it, it's the perfect time to play it because, we're just going to roll right into this, Sony's Naughty Dog Studio dropped a ton of new information for The Last of Us Part 2. Ugh.
Yeah,
man.
I can't believe it's already time to get ready for the sequel.
I know. Every time I think about the game and talk about the game, I get chills thinking about the impact that the game had and its place in video game legacy. I mean, I've been going on and on after they made the announcement of the release date. That's what they came out with. They came out with a new trailer announcing the release date of February 21st, 2020. Right around the corner. People have been eager to hear when they could get their hands on this game. Now it's real. There's like a target date that everybody's looking towards, and it just gives you that palpable sense of excitement, like it's going to happen, like it's going to come out. Since they announced it, I've been going back and watching some, you know, of the classic scenes from the first Last of Us, and you can't help but marvel at the bold and really challenging angles and concepts that they took in that first game. I mean, opening that first game the way that they did with that gut punch of that death. I don't want to say too much in case people haven't played it. But,
which, by the way, if you haven't played it, you now have no excuse because now
it's free.
It's the free featured game of the month. So
yeah,
you got it. You got to check it out.
But I mean, really think about that. When I first played that game, like that was the intro.
Yeah.
Like before the credits even rolled, you're watching the death of a child and like really heartbreaking, traumatizing stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I keep going back to with this next game coming out is that Neil Druckmann, the director, is saying the first game was about love. And how far that these people are willing to go for love to protect the ones you love. They say this one's about hate. So if the opening...
That's very ominous.
Yeah, if the opening and the conclusion of the first one gut punched you and then left you in a morally gray area, conflicted, this second one's going to traumatize people.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that in like the best possible way. Like, this is the type of challenging stuff that I think more mature gamers are really looking forward to. The Last of Us changed how we look at video game narratives. Like, it was quote unquote real. Like, it was real heavy stuff.
This was to put it in another phrase, this was a plot that you would see in a highbrow movie.
Yeah.
You know, this would be something that would win an Oscar or something.
Right.
And it was being presented in video game form.
Yeah.
So I'm very anxious to see how they're going to do with the sequel.
Well, let's... I want to pull this clip from Kind of Funny Games. One of their podcast hosts, Greg Miller, had this to say about The Last of Us. Because a lot of people got to play 3 hours. A lot of media people got to play 3 hours of the game. And I think this sums up the reaction that everybody's been having online is what he has to say here. It's a very short clip, but I got to play this real quick.
I'll start at the top. I cannot envision what any other game will have to do in 2020 to beat this for Game of the
Year. I already got chills. I already got chills.
There you go. I mean, that sums it up right there. That's the reaction people are having. They're already saying, this is Game of the Year 2020. And it hasn't even come out yet.
Wow.
That's just based on 3 hours, but there's a lot of other stuff to back up what they're talking
about. I would hate that.
What?
That, like, you got to play, like, 2 or 3 hours, and then that's
it. And they're like, oh, sorry.
That's it, yep.
Yeah. It also sucks because they're, like, little tiny slices taken from, like, random points in the middle of the game.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, because it's not like you play the first 3 hours. It's like, here's a part from Act 1, and here's a part from, like, the first part of Act 2, or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I'm glad we're not there.
I'm glad we're not big enough to do that because I wouldn't want to play it.
I would want to. You got to give me the whole game. I want to see the whole game.
If I sit down and you say, I'm going to put on The Last of Us Part 2, I'm going to get, cool. Can you leave for like 30 straight hours so I can finish the whole thing?
Yes. Someone just order pizza and I'll be fine.
Right. but let me hit you with some of the details that have been coming out this past week. So one of the things that sticks out to me is that right off the bat, they announced that this game is on 2 discs. And
ooh, that's a huge game.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And I knew you'd find that interesting because the only other game that I can think of in this generation that was on 2 discs was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
The key difference is that The Last of Us Part 2 is not a 100-plus-hour open world game. The translation to me here is that this game is going to be stupidly, absurdly detailed and nuanced and likely push every ounce of life out of the PlayStation 4.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that because that's what essentially The Last of Us, the original game, did with the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that should have been a PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah.
When that came out.
Right.
So
it's kind of funny. It's essentially doing the same thing.
I don't know about you, but that makes me really excited. The idea that it's going to be on 2 discs and it's not open world.
That means it's going to be a huge game. You're going to have a lot of space storage on your PlayStation.
It's going
to
be a huge game in terms of file size and also in terms of what they're looking to do. Game director Neil Druckmann spoke about the scope of the game and why it's taken so long. He said, quote, "What we realized pretty early on is that we were putting together Naughty Dog's most ambitious and longest game in our 35-year history. To tell this kind of story, the game needed to be massive," end quote. So they're going, this is coming from the guy that directed the first Last of Us and Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
So this is the most ambitious and longest game in that legacy. That's And yeah, it gives me chills. Something. That gives me chills thinking about that.
That's saying something, considering how massive the universe was for The Last of Us, and how amazing Uncharted 4 was the conclusion to the Nathan Drake storyline.
Yeah. I mean, Naughty Dog is one of those rare developers where, like, they're in a class of their own. It's like Naughty Dog and Rockstar.
They've never made a bad game.
You know, it's funny. In researching this, I was curious. I was like, I wonder if they ever have made a bad game. I went back and I looked at their catalog. The lowest rated game they've ever had was back in PlayStation 2 era. It was like mid-70s on Metacritic. But their entire catalog from Crash Bandicoot until now, if you take the average score of all the games, it's like an 88.
Yeah.
In four generations of games.
Yeah, that's one of those you can bank on them.
They've never made a bad game.
Yep.
They've never even made like a below average game.
Right.
And if you just take the last Uncharted till now, the average rating of their games is like a 92.
Yeah.
It's insane.
In Rockstar, I trust, and in Naughty Dog, we trust.
I'm going to pre-order The Last of Us Part 2.
I don't blame you.
The big one. I do want to get to one more point real quick about The Last of Us Part 2, and this is interesting. So they had confirmed multiplayer modes like in the first game, but now Naughty Dog is revealing that there is no multiplayer. They took it out of the game. But there's a twist here. They have an official statement on it. Quote, "The vision of the team grew beyond an additional mode that could be included with our enormous single-player campaign. Wanting to support both visions, we made the difficult choice that The Last of Us Part 2 would not include an online mode. However, you will eventually experience the fruits of our team's ambition, online ambition, but not as part of The Last of Us Part 2. And this has everybody talking. What could this possibly mean? People are theorizing a new standalone multiplayer-only game.
The Last of Us 3.
The Last of Us 3. Could it be something?
The Last of Us 3, the search for more money.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, it could be. It could be that. It could be a standalone multiplayer game. It could be future DLC for the base game. Could it be something that they're like, you know what? This is not something that this current technology can handle. Maybe this gets pushed to a PlayStation 5 project we don't even know about. But I mean, that's pretty ballsy right there to say, we promised this mode, and then like, well, it's just too big. We're just going to have to make it its own. That's what they did with the downloadable content for Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
It became a completely...
its own entity.
Yeah, it was only like 3/4 of like a full game, and it was priced appropriately, but like it became too big for actual downloadable content. So like, we're just going to spin it off. They just accidentally made another game.
Yeah.
That's the type of developer Naughty Dog is. Like, whoops, we accidentally made an entirely new game out of what was supposed to be a tacked on multiplayer mode.
Yeah. So I think they know what they're doing behind the scenes. I trust them. And I think that's good that they're not trying to force a second rate online mode if it's not, you know, if it's not ready to be in there.
Yeah. And like we've said, Naughty Dog can't do anything wrong, really. So if they feel that it needs more time or it needs its own separate thing, then that's exactly what it needs.
Yeah. So this is very exciting news. Last of Us 2 coming out.
Very exciting. I don't know about you. I got chills when I saw the trailer. I mean, just hearing the music and just knowing that it's... I mean, we've known it's real.
You know what really got me?
What?
Was the click-clack. I was like, oh, no.
We were watching the trailer, and yeah, it cuts to black, and you hear the clicker, and you were like, oh. And I was like, yes. That's what that game represents, is that visceral reaction to like the sights and the sounds.
The monsters.
And, yeah. Like, you... It, like, brings up all those... That game was the most stressed I've ever been in a video game.
You really do feel the stress of that game.
It's my favorite game that I've never replayed.
that's a good way to describe it.
I've replayed BioShocks and Portals and Mass Effects and everything. I replayed everything. Uncharted's. I never went back to The Last of Us because, one, it's so emotionally impactful that I don't know that I could. And two, it's so stressful. I don't know if I could actually physically make it through the game without like giving myself a heart attack.
That's a good point. Yeah. The game itself is very stressful.
It is. I'm going to replay it for part two, but I'm like a little apprehensive because like, you know what's going to happen and you know how emotional it's going to make you. You know how stressed it's going to make you. You know how you know it's bringing all those feelings back up, and it's just to bite the bullet and go back in for a second time. Man.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, that's probably a wise idea to get ready for Last of Us 2. It's been 6 years. So it wouldn't, you know, there probably is some details you've forgotten along the way. So.
And now it's free.
And now it's free, so now you have no excuse.
Yeah, no choices. But that's not the only big news that Sony had. Nope.
No, that's right.
They also had, and I am so excited to say this, I am happy to announce that Sony and Disney Marvel officially reached an agreement on Spider-Man. Spider-Man is rejoining the MCU.
Yes, Mikey.
Oh, my God.
You got lucky.
I knew it was going to happen. I told you guys I knew it was going to happen. It was too lucrative a deal for these groups to walk away from this. So Spider-Man is rejoining the MCU on a new deal for a third solo Spider-Man film in 2021, July 2021, and one non-Spider-Man team-up film with a big question mark. We don't know who it's going to be, if it's going to be Avengers, if it's going to be one of the other superheroes, but he's going to be in another team-up film. This deal will see Disney financing 25% of future Spider-Man films and lend Kevin Feige as producer. Disney will also receive 25% cut of the box office profits. A little tidbit here about this, though, is it also allows Sony to use Tom Holland's Spider-Man in their own cinematic universe focused on Spider-Man villains like Venom and their multiverse cinematic universe they want to do.
You knew that was coming.
Well, after Disney propelled Spider-Man to the stage that he's at now, you know that Sony wanted to get in on that, and Disney has sort of been like, this is the MCU Spider-Man. It's not the Venom universe Spider-Man. So it seems like that was a big sticking point for Sony, and they won it. But here's the issue, right? Because you know that there had to be another shoe.
Yeah.
Rumors are swirling that Disney and Marvel could be using this opportunity to gracefully write Spider-Man out of the MCU, possibly involving the multiverse. And here's the evidence for that. There is, of course, a casual mention to the multiverse in the latest Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
You have, on the Sony end of things, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then you also have, more blatantly, the Doctor Strange sequel, The Multiverse of Madness, or Madness in the Multiverse, I can't remember, coming out in 2021, just 2 months before the third Spider-Man film. So the foundation's being laid for a potential, like, oh, he's got sucked into the multiverse, he's in another version of Earth, and there's Venom and Carnage, and go watch Sony's movies.
Yeah, there you go. You can watch Venom again!
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm really happy about the deal, and I'm also really sad about the deal. That's the worst possible thing that could happen, is if they take him out of the MCU. Now, a lot could change before 2021, but many are saying that that's the current plan. And it really saddens me, because this is the best Spider-Man that I've ever seen on film. And more than that, you can tell how excited Marvel and Disney were to have Spider-Man back in the MCU. The way that they wrote him into Civil War, like, as soon as they got him, they're like, let's just jam him in there. They're so excited. But he played a big part in that film. They played big parts in both of the Avengers Infinity
Infinity War. Yeah. He was kind of groomed to be the next leader of the Avengers.
Yeah. I mean, he had such an integral role to Tony Stark's character arc those last few movies, and vice versa. And they really seem to be weaving him into a lot of what was going to be Phase 4. You had Nick Fury in the last Spider-Man movie. You have Tony Stark in the first Spider-Man movie. You have Spider-Man appearing in a Captain America movie. Like, these are not insignificant tie-ins, right? Like, you're building this character to be something more. And now we will probably not get to see that come to fruition.
Well, yeah.
Instead, we're going to get Falcon.
Well, that's if the current trajectory holds up, but I think you are right. There is a long time between now and when the third Spider-Man movie is going to come out.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, they'll have another discussion over whether or not to still have the MCU Spider-Man. remain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'll just throw this out to Sony. You know, Venom made $800 million, but Spider-Man Far From Home made over $1 billion. You know? So if you do the math, you're still getting your $800 million because Disney gets their 25% cut, but they're paying for 25% of it as well. So you're coming out ahead. Yes, what I'm saying, Sony, from one humble fan to this giant global corporation, just suck it up. You just be happy with the $800 million you're going to make on Spider-Man and continue to have this really positive fan reaction. Because the fan backlash is what made this deal happen.
Right. But I'm telling you, at some point, Sony's going to yank them to be a part of the Venom universe. They need this Spider-Man to sell Venom.
This deal allows that to happen. I just don't want them to yank him out of MCU.
Right.
It would be really tough to have him be in both universes, but there could be some ways around that.
Yeah. The multiverse would be a great explanation.
Yeah. I mean, just...
this is the Sony universe.
Exactly, yeah. Or just bring Venom into the MCU, too. Have it all cross over. Just be like, when Spider-Man's not fighting with the Avengers, he's dealing with Venom in New York. You know, it's not terribly complicated. Venom isn't a world-ending villain. He's not Galactus. He's not Thanos. It's not something that the Avengers would have to get involved in. You could hypothetically be like, oh, this is what Spider-Man does on his time off.
Yeah, he has to talk to Eddie Brock.
Do you know how many Venoms Spider-Man has? I mean, it's plausible, people. Not everything needs to be a world-ending event. Remember Phase 1 and 2? When things were simple?
Yeah.
When it was Red Skull and Whiplash and whatever Thor was doing for three movies.
Yeah, and...
Can't even name the villains.
What was the first one, yeah.
First one?
Warmonger.
Warmonger?
Wait, yeah, what was the first one?
The first, what, Iron Man villain?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was the...
Giant gray Iron Man.
giant gray Iron Man.
But that's what I mean. There's room for personal stories.
Yeah.
Giant gray Iron Man. I don't know.
Giant gray Iron Man.
If somebody knows the name, tweet at me. Let me know. I can't remember. Probably Warmonger.
Or Ironmonger or something. It was something monger. I think it was Ironmonger or something.
I'll just look it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Something like...
giant gray
Iron Man. We're not very creative writing the script here.
Obadiah Stain. Yes, I understand that, but what was his bad guy's
name?
Yeah,
I think it was just Ironmonger or something.
Ironmonger, yes.
There you go. Thank you.
See? It's stupid. Spider-Man can take time to do stupid things, too, just like Iron Man did.
All right. Well, with that in mind, I'm sure this is all pleasant news to Mike's ears, but I'm sure Sony will have something to say when they want Spider-Man to join their Venom universe.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
So there you go. The latest from Sony. Most of it good, but there is that caveat that I think you got to watch out for. And with that, that's how we're going to end the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because we still have one more portion of the show coming up, and that's the part where I update all of you guys on some wacky, odd news that actually happened. And you're going to want to tune in to that, because I got some wacky stories. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast with the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere.
Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Make sure to give us a quick click on the subscribe button so that you get the latest episode downloaded straight to your podcast app of choice when it comes out every Thursday morning. But now it's time to get to the third and final part of the show, where I've got some crazy but true wacky news stories that I think everyone needs to be aware about. Mike, what's it time for?
It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading to first on our odd news road trip?
All right. Well, I have a lot of Florida odd news stories
okay,
here.
So staying down south.
Well, now, but before we get to that, I do want to start off with a non-Florida story.
Okay.
To let everyone know that there are things happening in other parts of the country.
It's not just all Florida all the time.
Right. But it does seem like that. So for this first one, we're going to Oregon.
Huh.
How do you like that?
Like on the Oregon Trail.
Sure. Did the Oregon Trail go through Oregon? I don't think it did.
It went to Oregon.
Did it?
Where would it go?
I don't know. To like the land.
We're going on the Oregon Trail to Nevada.
Yeah. Woo! Reno.
I thought that was the whole point of the Oregon Trail. You know, the dysentery one?
Yeah. Was that the promised land? Was Oregon?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. What was in Oregon? A new beginning.
The gold rush? No, that's San Francisco.
No, that was San Francisco.
49ers. Whoops. I'm getting my history mixed up. Anyway, yeah. The point is this story.
Well, anyway, we're going on the Oregon Trail. Don't get dysentery. We're going to Oregon.
Yes. And for no, it's funny. I didn't realize that. Yeah, you might need
Does
to watch out.
Does the story have to do with dysentery?
You might have to watch out for hazards that happen in this story, because in Oregon, a female coworker decided to place methamphetamine into her bean dip that she served to coworkers at the Thriftway supermarket that they all worked at, according to cops.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
She just wanted to make sure everybody had a good time.
But yeah, you could fall into dysentery with that. So
something about
a modern, that's a, you know what this is? This is a modern day Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something about the combination of meth and beans just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. You're going to be on the toilet for a while.
Oh yeah.
Police charged that 38-year-old Cassandra Medina Hernandez provided the spiked bean dip to a woman who fell ill after consuming it. Oh, there you go.
Well,
so she
got dysentery.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the Oregon Trail all over again.
Yes.
I feel like meth and beans would be a bad combo, because doesn't meth like make you like hyper, and beans obviously gives you a lot of gas and fiber, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like those two things together are probably a bad combo. Does meth make you poop?
Yeah. Well, any sort of drugs, I think, if you use it enough, yeah, it makes you...
I'm going to look it up.
And I, you know what? I know this because I was watching Succession, and the one guy poops the bed.
Because of meth?
Yeah, because he's on drugs. It's a fun fact. There you go. You're on the Crisper Noodle podcast.
Man, I got to tell you, the internet is an amazing place. I typed in, does meth make you poop? And the first... And the first topic is, you know, Quora.com, yeah. The one, is a question somebody asked, why does meth make me poop?
There you go. I'm glad we got to the bottom of this. So it's, yeah, there you go.
I always have to take a dump right after. I take good care of my body. I sleep every night, as well as eat twice a day.
That's the clinical term for
okay,
it,
well, here
way.
We go. Here's the top answer. Methamphetamine is a stimulant. It stimulates the entire body, including the digestive tract, initiating and causing more rapid peristalsis, thereby moving the payload into the firing chamber sooner than it would. Yes. This can lead to incomplete digestion and malnourishment. The opposite effect is seen with the use of opiates, leading to constipation. Wow.
There you go. That's all the information.
I just scienced.
That's all the information you've ever wanted to know about drugs and the digestive system.
My bunghole, it goes rakakaka, rakakaka, and then sometimes my bunghole goes
That's actual audio from that lady after the bean
fell
tip.
Ill. Yeah.
So meth and beans, bad combo.
Yes.
And she fell ill. So why did the lady do this in the first place? Why did she decide to put the meth in the bean dip?
So the victim learned that the bean dip may have contained meth, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. The 27-year-old victim then told cops that Medina Hernandez, who was working in the store's deli department, provided her with the bean dip.
How did she learn it may have contained meth?
A fellow Thriftway employee told police that Medina Hernandez said that she may have placed drugs inside the bean dip.
Why are all these statements like may or might?
Yeah, wait a minute.
She's like, what did I put? Yeah, where did my meth go?
Where did I put those drugs? They're so tiny. Where are they?
Is this like losing a piece of jewelry in a cake or something?
Yeah.
Losing your baggie of meth in the bean dip?
This is the Oregon version of it.
The Oregon version.
Yeah. A second co-worker also told investigators that Cassandra sent her a text message that said that I may have placed the meth in the food by accident.
No, you didn't. Shut up. No, you didn't.
Whoops. It just fell right in.
You're just
in
seasoning it, and you're like, oh, this unmarked baggie with this white powder, this is definitely salt.
It's sugar.
It's sugar.
Yeah. Powdered sugar.
No.
Make the bean dip sweet.
She definitely didn't accidentally do anything.
Yeah.
She was trying to get
wrong,
rid of it.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
I love and hate stupid criminals.
Yes. Investigators determined that one other employee also had consumed the bean dip, but luckily she was all right.
Was this for like a company potluck?
I guess so, yeah, like a potluck lunch or something.
She's like, I made bean dip. It may or may not have meth in it. That's for you to find out.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, good luck. She's spooning out. Good luck. Good luck. Your spoonful might be the one.
Deputies yesterday arrested Medina Hernandez on several charges, including unlawful delivery of meth.
That sounds about right.
That's a unique charge. I don't think we've ever had that phrasing before.
What was it? Unlawful delivery.
Yeah.
Is there a lawful delivery?
Right? Is there?
If she had handed it out, would that have been lawful?
And meth for you. And meth for you.
Did you bring enough for the whole class, Medina?
Yes. She also is charged with recklessly endangering another person.
Yeah, yeah.
Investigators have also followed up and said that there's no reason to believe that customers were served the food. So that's good.
I don't understand the purpose of this bean dip. Was it for the employees or the customers?
It was for the employees, yeah.
So how do the customers get their hands on this bean dip?
Well, no, I guess the cops have to follow up that it didn't go out to the public.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Medina Hernandez is being held in the county jail on a, $520,000 bail.
Wow.
Wow.
We've had stories where people are sexually assaulting each other, and it's like, a couple $100.
Yeah. Oregon doesn't play around.
No, they do not.
Bam.
And this was all by accident, quote unquote.
Yeah. $520,000.
Damn.
Yeah, you ain't going anywhere.
Woo. I mean, she kind of deserves it for that unlawful delivery.
Yeah, the unlawful delivery.
Now, if it was lawful, that's only like $300,000.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I think it's time to get to the Florida stories here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And actually has to do with sports. So I figure
it's... Is it football, though?
Yes, actually.
Ooh.
So, yeah, this is... Mike is very excited. And before I get into it, this was sent in by listener Rachel.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. And once again, if you want us to cover odd news stories, if you send it my way at Rich Liebig, I'll take a look at it and we'll give you a shout out if we use it on the show.
Always love it when we get fan submitted stories.
Yep. So thank you, Rachel, for this one. Has to do with the Miami Dolphins, of course.
Of course it does.
Yep. sometimes overpriced beers can be annoying, but this overpriced beer at a football game cost the vendor more than the fan. A beer vendor at Sunday's Miami Dolphins game was arrested after he tried to charge a fan $724 for two beers on his own personal credit card reader.
What? It's not even the organization.
Yeah.
Now it's the stadium, the staff, everybody's just giving up.
Yeah.
They're just committing like open crimes now. So if I understand this correctly, the guy selling the beer tried to like casually sneakily charge this person $720-some.
Yeah, to his own personal account.
So not the stadium credit card reader, but like his own personal credit card reader.
Right.
Wow. So, I mean... They found him out, obviously, when he's like, oh, your total's going to be $724. Or did the fan not know and only realize, like, afterwards?
So actually, he didn't provide a receipt, so the victim didn't find out until Monday morning.
Oh, man.
$724. So that means...
Yo, I'd be so pissed.
$362 a beer. Yeah, sure.
Was it a good beer?
It's probably Bud Light.
Yeah, it probably was.
33-year-old Nathaniel Collier is facing charges of third-degree theft and possession of a skimming device and was issued a $10,000 bond, according to the Corrections and Rehabilitation Records of Florida. Collier didn't use the credit card reader that the Hard Rock Stadium provides to its vendors, according to a police report. The fan received an alert on Monday, which included Collier's name for the excessive charge.
Oh,
so because he put it on his personal card reader, his name came up.
So stupid. It makes perfect sense that he works for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Can I just point that out?
Like, yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yes.
They were meant for each other. This is a match made in heaven right
perfect
here.
Perfect for an 0-16 team.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rich, there's still 12 weeks left.
Oh, yeah. They're on the fast track.
They're on their way.
They're on the fast track to 0-16.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. I was going to say, because most credit cards, at least I have like an alert if there's a single charge over a certain amount. Like,
yeah.
I would get an email immediately like, hey, you just spent $724. Did you mean to do that?
On two beers?
Yeah, on two beers.
Question mark.
The credit card company's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
A spokesman for the Hard Rock Stadium's hospitality company told the Herald, which is a newspaper, that Collier was a vendor at the stadium for the past year, but he was not hired directly by the stadium. He was hired by the independent subcontractor known as Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
So that clears the Dolphins or the Hard Rock Stadium any liability for it.
Wow. So, just push it on to the next guy.
Yep. Just like the real Miami Dolphins do.
That's right.
We didn't build a bad team. No.
No. It's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's Josh Rosen's fault.
Just blame it all on him.
Yeah.
He can take it.
That's what the Cardinals did.
Yeah.
They did. They blamed it on him and then traded him away.
Man, poor Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Apparently, he deserves it. He's killing all these franchises.
Yeah.
But, man, that's some crazy stuff. You got to be careful. You got to, like, be on top of your... You know,
skimming.
Yeah, well, what you're spending. Like, you should know what you're spending, you know?
And you got to be in charge of your fraudulent skimming company.
Yeah.
Don't use your own name.
Yeah, that was so dumb. Or, like, pick an amount that's not as obvious. And why $700? You said $724?
Yeah, why? Yeah, how did you deduce $724?
Did you have, like, a bill or something due and you needed $724? And you're like, this guy is going to pay the whole thing. Why don't you spread it out? You're working at a football stadium. You're probably selling like thousands of beers. Take a dollar here, a dollar there. This is office space type stuff, man. You know? If you take a dollar from everybody, nobody notices.
Right.
You could easily get a couple $100.
What's the difference between a $10 and $11 beer?
Right. Exactly. You see that in your statement? Oh, there's an $11 beer. Well, that's the NFL concession prices for you. You don't think anything of it.
$724.
That's a little suspicious. I know the one and only time I went to an Eagles game, it cost me $25 for a cheesesteak and a water. So I know that food's expensive, but not that expensive.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Have you ever been to an Eagles game and gotten food?
It
was $25 for a cheesesteak and a water. I didn't even get a beer.
I'll have a beer, a cheeseburger, fries, and some napkins. Oh, that's going to be $1,000.
Yeah. Sir, our bank branch is right over there, so you can take out a loan to pay for the food.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, you take a dollar, 50 cents from everybody, it's a couple $100 easy. I would make such a good criminal, Rich. I swear to God, I would make such a good criminal.
There you
go. If I just wasn't such a bitch and afraid of getting arrested, because I wouldn't be able to do prison, man.
There you go. Mike's going to start a college class.
How to be a criminal.
With Dr. Michael Costanzo.
I used to teach college. But, you know, 320-some episodes of Odd News, you pick up a few tricks, you
there
know?
There you go. Yeah.
Don't nap when you break into a house.
That's very important. Yeah.
Don't, you know, bring notes on the backs of personal checks or whatever.
Don't bring resumes.
Yeah, exactly. And only take a dollar from each person, and you'll get a whole bunch of money, no problem.
Yeah. Good job, Miami Dolphins. Way to go.
Like I said, this sounds exactly like something that would happen at a Miami Dolphins game. This does not surprise me in the least.
Yep. All right, another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Boy, man, this is... you're going to love this one. A Florida woman who wanted to eat more than her fair share of tomatoes at the dinner table is now facing criminal charges after she assaulted elderly relatives who tried to stop her grubby vegetable gambit, according to police.
What?
Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your own very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, and eat them with gravy. You can eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle. A homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What a life be without homegrown tomatoes.
No, no, no. Bring it back, Rich. Bring it back.
And
what was
tomato.
That magical tune?
John Denver.
John Denver?
Yeah, there you go. There's wow. only two things in the world money can't buy, love and homegrown tomatoes.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Why? Does he have a song for every vegetable?
I think he might.
Homegrown potatoes. Homegrown potatoes.
Yeah. That's all you got to do is switch out the words.
Yeah. There you go.
Homegrown green beans. Homegrown green beans.
He's got a whole album of it. It's just, every song is just homegrown tomatoes, potatoes, green beans. broccoli, corn, whatever you want.
Homegrown Brussels sprouts. Homegrown Brussels sprouts. That one's a little bit trickier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got to work on the meter for that one, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this story, 19-year-old Katie Jade Gates allegedly became incensed when she was denied additional tomatoes during supper at her family's home.
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Why are the steaks already at 11?
Yeah.
Like, this is just dinner, and they deny her the tomatoes.
How dare
and she
you?
Fights them because of this denial. Like, why is it already ramped up to 11?
No, my fiancé, my ultimate four!
So, Gates' grandmother told police that the teenager began to throw a fit because she couldn't have more tomatoes.
But really, a teen wanting to eat vegetables? Like, you should be, like, you're like, yeah,
point.
Eat more
yeah.
vegetables. Yeah, that's a good thing. You're like, no, honey, have more of the, I don't know, bad, what did that one
candy.
Kid eat? Pringles and French fries.
Oh, yeah. Pringles and French fries, yeah.
You know, just a few weeks ago, somebody went blind for not eating vegetables, and now they're like, no, don't eat vegetables.
Well, this is...
Mixed signals, Rich.
No, you're forgetting one thing. This is Florida.
Oh, so it's backwards.
Right. This
gotcha.
Is bizarro world.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
Right. Here, the kids are supposed to...
I'm so silly.
Eat
I should have realized
food.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, come on. This is Florida here.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So, Gates, in retaliation, threw water bottles at her grandfather.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, when confronted about her behavior by the grandfather, Gates then pulled a knife.
What?
And said, mother effer, I'll stab you in the effing face.
Kill my fiancé, my ultimate four! No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Wow.
This was all over tomatoes.
Yes.
Why couldn't she just have the tomatoes?
This is Florida. You're supposed to eat bad.
How many tomatoes did she eat? They had to be like, oh, no, we're cutting you off. Is she just like... rip the entire plant out of the ground and just tear the tomatoes off with her bare hands? Like, how many tomatoes is she already...
She's just going to town.
She just double-fisting them.
Yeah.
That's insane. Where'd she get the knife from?
Maybe it's the tomatoes from The Simpsons where...
Tomaco?
Tomaco, yeah!
Yes!
Tomato and tobacco?
Good old tomaco, yeah.
It's not tomatoes, it's
no,
tomaco.
No, it's tomaco, that's what it is.
I need it!
It's an addiction.
Right.
She's addicted to that tomaco.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming the knife came from the dinner table, but, like, I don't know. This whole story.
Yeah. According to witnesses, Gates then chased her grandfather around the house.
Come on. Can't chase your grandfather around like that. That's messed up.
Well, at least you're keeping your grandfather active.
I mean...
He's spry. That's good.
Yeah. Well, he's spry because this is probably a weekly occurrence.
Yeah. Every week.
Every week, yeah.
It's time for the annual murder chase.
It's time for the murder chase. Who's getting stabbed tonight?
The slowest one.
The slowest one. It's a really messed up version of Duck, Duck, Goose.
Yeah. During police questioning, Gates admitted to everything. The only thing she denied was that she actually tried to strike him with the knife. She said that she only was trying to use it as a threat and not actually going to actually stab him with the knife.
I don't think it matters at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, right? That's just semantics.
You threw
at that
water
point.
Bottles at him. You were chasing him with the knife. If you're just threatening him, just flail it around. You don't need to chase him with it.
Yeah, no. We were just
and
playing.
Also, hold
I
on.
Play. We playing.
You have the knife. Eat the tomatoes.
Yeah. Why are you chasing him around?
Right. You know what I mean? Like. It's like...
Unless he's like some sort of like mischievous like, I'm going to grab the tomatoes.
Oh, so you think however many tomatoes she's eating, it's such an abnormal amount that they physically remove the tomatoes from the table.
Yeah.
And he's got like, I'm just imagining like just carrying a bushel of tomatoes.
Yeah, I got them now.
And so she's chasing him with the knife to get the tomatoes
You'll
back.
Never get them, Katie.
Man.
You bitch. I got them now. Woo-hoo.
You know, I have to admit sometimes when we have our big Italian dinners and they make a tomato salad, people sometimes get a little annoyed if, you know, somebody takes the last of the tomato salad, if somebody loads up on tomato salad and takes all the oil and it's like, oh, man, you didn't leave any
you
for anybody
bitch.
Else. But I've never, never in 30 years had a situation where anybody got violent over, one, being denied tomatoes, or two, the fact that the tomatoes were already eaten.
To be fair, though, I love a good tomato.
I love a good tomato.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, I wouldn't stab anybody over it.
We're Italian. Tomato, that's like a staple of our diet.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not stabbing somebody worthy.
No.
And also, how many tomatoes do you have to eat to have somebody say, like, okay.
Yo.
Yeah, well, that's a
Mike,
lot of tomatoes.
Mike, I've been meaning to talk to you. Yeah. You need to cut down on the tomatoes.
I was going to say something after the 12th one, but now that we're up to like 22, I really think you got to... Like, you know what? Like, how many tomatoes is too much?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Gates was arrested and charged with two felonies, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated battery on a victim over the age of 65.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Specifically over 65?
Yep.
Wow.
She was bonded out of jail by her parents.
Of course.
Who posted an $18,000 bond.
All that money, they couldn't afford to buy more tomatoes?
Yeah. You have $18,000 lying around, you can't buy more tomatoes?
Everything about this story is just awful.
That's Florida.
That's Florida, yeah.
Yeah. How dare you eat tomatoes?
Just let the kid eat the tomatoes, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's nutso over here.
I feel bad for those grandparents. Like, oh, come on over for dinner, honey. And then she chases them around the house with a knife.
It's time for your weekly marathon run.
That's right, yeah. What did you call it?
Murder run.
Murder chase?
Murder chase, run? Yeah. Time for your weekly murder chase. Here we go.
She's keeping them young.
Right.
As I say,
right.
Grandkids keep grandparents young.
Yeah, especially when you're being chased around the house.
I mean, what better way to do it?
Yeah.
That's great advice. So all you grandparents listening, you know, let your kids chase you with knives.
Great.
It'll keep you spry and limber, you know?
Yeah. or you'll be dead.
What is wrong with... Oh, my God. I can't... 2019 is really the stupidest timeline. I can't even... I'm just breaking the fourth wall here. Like, before the show, we're talking about stuff. 2019 is just the stupidest timeline. Everything that we, you know, you have the Terrence Howard thing, you have the football season this year. It's just, I can't.
It has been a pretty dumb year.
It has been. I don't know. Maybe I'm like overreacting, but I just feel like I can't take 2019 anymore. It's October and it needs to end right now. Okay, go ahead. Next story.
What makes you think 2020 is going to be any better?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. It's going to be just as bad. It's going to be worse.
Yeah.
It's going to be the stupidest timeline part two. So there you go. I had a little mental breakdown there.
Wait until we get to the best of odd news of 2019 at the end of the year. It's going to be great.
Rich, I think it's the longest list I've ever had. I'm on 3 pages.
Wow.
3 pages of odd news for 2019.
That Mike is considering for the best of.
Yeah. People don't know, behind the scenes, I keep a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And as we go through them, I put down the episode number and a title and a description. I'm up to 3 pages of odd news.
Wow. There
That's a lot
go.
Of odd news.
Yep.
So maybe the next one will be on the list. What do you got?
Okay. Let's do... Oh, I want to do this one here.
Okay.
I forgot about this one. Now I want to do it. So again, it's a Florida one.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
It's not a really long story, but I just love this response. During a traffic stop early on Sunday morning, Jacqueline Hubbard did not hesitate at all when a Florida cop asked if she had any drugs on her person. The 59-year-old Hubbard, who was in the front seat not wearing a seatbelt, then confidently told the patrolman that, quote, "Let me see what I have in my felony purse."
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes, this is my felony purse.
What did I just say about the stupidest timeline? What did I just say, society?
This is what we have to work
my
with.
My felony purse?
Yes.
What in the hell is a felony purse, and why do you have one? That is amazing.
So here,
let me see what I have in my felony purse.
I think she was trying to throw the patrolman off with like sarcasm.
Are you sure?
That's what I'm going to go with.
I think you're giving way too much credit to Florida.
You think she actually designs this as her felony purse?
I think she actually, yeah. She's like, look, if I'm going down, it's got to be with a bang. All the felonies in one purse. The guns, the drugs, I don't know what else you could have in there that would be a felony.
Well, my logic was maybe she's trying to use sarcasm to be like...
to like disarm the cop.
Right.
And the cop will be like, oh, you're so funny. Oh, that's fine. I'll let you off with a warning.
Yeah, maybe something like that. That
I don't know. If somebody says, let me check my felony purse, I'm paying real close attention to what's in the felony pouch purse thing.
Well, either way, it is what you thought. The purse, which Hubbard wore around her neck, contained 2 grams of crack rocks,
wow,
a bag of cocaine, 2 glass crack pipes,
holy
and
crap,
a handgun.
What in... Oh, my God.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah, she's ready for anything with the felony purse.
This was all in a purse around her neck?
Yeah, like, you know.
That's a lot. That's purse. A lot, though. Like, just 2 pipes?
Yes.
And a gun?
One's not enough.
No, you need 2. you gotta double fist them, you know? You got 2 different kinds going at once. Does she have anything that wasn't illegal in her felony purse?
No. That's why it's called a felony purse.
No money, just crack pipes and guns.
Yeah, and cocaine.
Florida.
It's actually
2019.
It's actually
the stupidest timeline.
It's actually a style statement.
Right.
You have your regular purse and then you have your felony purse.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got to go when the season's changing to get, you know, the new fall felony purses,
right,
that they have out there at Macy's and wherever else they carry felony purses.
Yes.
Don't sue us, Macy's.
This is where you
where do you think you can buy a nice felony purse? You can get a felony purse anywhere, but where you can get like
Publix? That's the only, maybe some Publix?
Yeah.
Yes. Here, oh, come on down the fourth aisle of the Publix supermarket. You can get your felony purse.
And here we have Janice styling the new Neiman Marcus felony purse.
Yes.
It's made with supple Carthinian leather.
This felony purse is red and blue, the same colors, ooh, of the cops that will arrest you.
You'll definitely want this floral print for the fall season. Ooh. And look at that beautiful tassel zipper. Perfect.
And if you look over here, here's our white felony purse, perfectly, ooh, suited to hide your cocaine. Yes, it blends in all together.
And what I really love about this one is look at that, a holster built into it.
Oh, that is
the perfect merger of beauty and practicality.
Yes, functionality, yes, practicality, and style when you go to jail.
Oh, amazing.
All available at your local Publix supermarket in Florida. Just march down the fourth aisle. You'll find
it. There you go.
I want to have a fashion show now
with the felony
purses.
My God, I feel like it's a great business opportunity.
Yeah,
here.
Obviously. Yeah, this
Florida
might...
alone, you'd be in the black.
This is obviously a style statement for criminals.
I mean, when you really want to flaunt it. When you're comfortable with your felonies and you just want to flaunt it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, if you got it, work it.
You're right. Maybe it's felony. Maybe it's Maybelline.
I hate you so much.
Maybe it's felony, maybe it's Maybelline. It's the new tagline for Maybelline.
They
gotta capitalize on this right now.
You gotta strike while the iron's hot. You gotta, you know, it's in the public mindset. You gotta do it. Yeah. Oh my God.
Maybe it's felony, maybe it's Maybelline.
Oh my God. Oh, I know what the title for this one's gonna be.
Yeah, there you go. Mark that down.
It's going in the list.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what's going to top that now.
I don't know. Maybe it's Felony. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, there you go.
Look for the new fall lineup.
Right. It's coming out soon. Okay, I guess we're going to end it soon. So I got this last Florida story here to wrap it up.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this is a simple story, not too much here, but you can pretty much put the pieces together here. After being arrested yesterday, an accused serial flasher told Florida cops, "I just do what I do because I'm an asshole. What can I say?"
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
They're not even trying anymore. They're not even trying anymore. Can we subtitle this episode "The Stupidest Timeline"? I can't. How is this? Why? Why?
Yes, this is the thing.
So what he said, "I'm just an asshole. What can I say?"
Yeah.
Wow.
69-year-old Robert DiGiacomo was collared after he was spotted driving through the parking lot of a Target store. He was subsequently arrested in the parking lot of the adjacent Sam's Club store. So yeah, he went shopping, and flashing. Very, very important.
There you go.
DiGiacomo was charged after multiple women reported that he exposed himself and touched himself while running through the aisles.
Of course he did.
Yes, perfect.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
According to cops, when they asked him what he was doing during the incidents, he would only repeat, "Hey, I'm just an asshole. What more can I say?"
I use public toilets and I piss on the seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, "How about this heat?" I'm an asshole.
Oh yeah, this is the real life version of Dennis Leary's asshole song.
Oh my god! all told, you gotta admire the balls on this guy. Just be like, "I'm just an asshole."
Yep.
Wow.
He was booked into the local county jail, where his bond was specifically set at $2,513.
That sounds about right.
I think that's perfect.
That's the cherry on top of this. This episode dedicated to the stupidest timeline that has been 2019 so far.
I think that's the perfect way to send the guy who's an asshole into jail.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole, and I'm proud of it.
And there you go.
Beautiful.
That's how we're going to end the odd
news.
That's
Florida's theme song.
That's the new Florida theme song.
That's the new Florida theme song.
There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie odd news. All right. Before Mike has a mental breakdown, we have
too late. I'm there.
We have to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, hold it together. What have you learned?
I learned everything. I learned so much. I learned math makes you poop.
Yeah.
I learned that you can make Uranus without gas.
Yes.
I learned that Terrence Howard scares me. I learned that the villain from the first Iron Man was Giant Gray Iron Man.
I forgot about that, yeah.
I learned that beer at Miami Dolphin Stadium cost $724. I learned that they're felony purses
are
a thing they're in. That's the new fall trend.
Yeah.
And I learned that Florida's theme song is "I'm an Asshole."
Yeah, by Dennis Leary. Yep.
And just reconfirmed in case anybody was wondering. Yes, this is, in fact, the stupidest timeline. We're living it.
There you go.
Right now.
I would agree.
It's happening. If something weird happens, you can just chalk it up to say it's 2019. Period.
Yes. 2019, nothing makes sense anymore. That should be the official tagline.
Didn't we say this about 2018, too?
If
2017?
If we did, it's worse than 2019.
Aren't you so excited for 2020?
Yes.
3 short months away.
Good luck.
Hold on tight, everyone. It's going to be a wild ride the last 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
That's what I learned, Rich. That's what I learned.
Yes.
Oh, and also, maybe it's Felony, maybe it's Maybelline.
Yes, that's my new tagline.
That's your new tagline.
For Maybelline. And there you go. That's what we've learned. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. I think we're both about to have a mental breakdown, so
we got to deep breath.
Yeah, we got to start wrapping this episode up. Well, if you haven't had a mental breakdown, we want to thank you for staying with us the whole show and enjoying the ride that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast between our sports, entertainment, and odd news. If you like what you heard and you want to hear some more of the craziness, make sure to check out past episodes of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You can find them on our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Search the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Find us on Twitter at the Crispy Noodle and on Instagram at the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you follow us on all those channels, you'll always be in the know with things that are happening with us in terms of the podcast, any events we're doing, and any other fun things that we put up there on the internets to see.
Yep.
Wow, Mike is just giving up. Yep.
I think I'm just severely sleep deprived, or I really did suffer a mental breakdown during that odd news.
I think you legit did.
If you want to see what I look like before the mental breakdown, you can subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also got SoundCloud as well. That's where we have the promo clips. So if you want to listen to a quick bit on the go, search the Crispy Noodle Podcast on SoundCloud and you'll find us there as well.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to share something with us in particular, get in touch with us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on Twitter and send us things you want us to talk about on next week's podcast.
Yep.
All right, but I can tell Mike's...
I'm done.
He's done.
I'm like 100% done.
Yes. So before he officially has a mental breakdown, we're going to wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.